Welcome to the DJE Podcast, where you will learn about real estate investing from real life examples. Here's your host, Devin Elder.
Okay, welcome to the show. Real quick before we dive in with today's excellent guest, wanted to let you guys know if you have multifamily questions, you can direct them to our team via an email, and you can send that to questions@djetexas.com. Or if you'd like to jump on a quick 10 or 15 minute call to get any of your multifamily questions answered, you can also do that on djetexas.com. So I would welcome that. So let's get into the show. We have Dr. Cherry Chen on the show. She received her MD at Texas A&M College of Medicine with honors and completed her training at Oregon Health and Science University. She's an internal medicine physician in the DFW area and has experience with commercial real estate syndications across multifamily, self-storage, manufactured home parks, as a limited passive investor. And she's also done quite a bit of raising private equity through her platform, The Real Estate Physician. She founded The Real Estate Physician to empower her physician colleagues in commercial real estate investments. It is a resource that she wanted to build, and she now has over 500 physicians on that platform and deriving value from that. So great platform there. Without further ado, Cherry Chen, how are you? Welcome.
Good morning, Devin. I'm good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming on board. So a little bit of a bio there that I read with some background. And I wanted to understand a little bit about your journey to real estate. Obviously, you started out in medicine, still in medicine, and that's great. But I always like to kind of understand what the turning point was for you getting into real estate.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it's different things for different people. Certainly, I think for a lot of people, it's, you know, you're driven by pain. But for me, it was, you know, when I started working as a full-time physician, it was more so exploring what other investment options were out there. I think like many people were just limited to stocks and bonds or Wall Street or retirement plans. But it was in the process of exploring that I, you know, looked into real estate and certainly did not know there were syndications or that I could be even a passive investor. I think I, like most people, thought, oh, I would go get a single family rental and rent it out. And so it was kind of in that process of exploring, one, is there something outside of Wall Street and stocks and bonds, and explore single family. But ultimately, I jumped into a syndications as a passive investor. I think that's because knowing what I wanted investments to do for me and my lifestyle. And I've done that ever since, going on my fifth year as a passive investor, and have really only focused on that.
That's great. So you got to skip that whole buy a house and hire a contractor and renovate it. You never touched any of those types of projects. Is that right?
Yeah, no, never. And I think it was, you know, I once I learned about multifamily, it was very objective. It seemed to make a lot of sense for me, and being from a passive standpoint. And I think that just, you know, for every investor thinking about, well, what is your endpoint or what is the purpose of doing this investment, and kind of just looking at it how you look at any other aspect of your life, you know, is just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. And, you know, what are my opportunity costs? And what is the highest best use of my time? So I always ask myself those questions, you know, not only investments, but in life, but certainly in real estate investing. Those were the questions I asked, which helped me kind of, you know, define why passive investment was a better route for me personally. I think for a lot of busy professionals, because I wasn't trying to quit my job. I love my job, and I still, you know, work full time as a physician, but I wanted investments to, you know, enhance my life, to, you know, not be a drag. I know a lot of people go into single family, and, you know, just because you can, but then you lose that opportunity cost of your time and other resources.
Yeah, that's such an important point, and I like the point that you made about asking the right questions. Right, I think questions are very powerful and can lead us to where we want to go. If you're asking the right questions, I constantly see folks with high income jobs get the real estate bug, and then they start doing a lot of the work, which is much, much lower than their hourly
right.
value at their job that they trained for and went to school for. And it's like, that's a poor allocation of resources if you have a high income earning W-2 job and you trading that for being a project manager on a single family renovation. I mean, that's a poor use of resources. So that's great to hear. I love when people just kind of skip over that and go right into the passive, the passive options. You mentioned 5 years as a passive investor. That's fantastic. Have some of those projects gone full cycle? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, my first investment has gone full cycle. It's under contract to close and sell this month. So I don't have, the exact numbers on that, but that was actually my first multifamily passive investment, which is will be selling this month, actually. So that's
excellent.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's great. Yeah. So, it's nice to go full cycle, but then it creates a little bit of work for you too. It's like you might have to redeploy some capital or figure out the capital gain situation for the year. But, other than that, I mean, these passive investments I try to explain to people are in a multifamily or self-storage syndication as a limited partner, there really is nothing to do other than educate yourself and evaluate the opportunity and decide if you're in or out. Talk to me about that first syndication that you got in. Was there a big learning curve component? Did you spend a lot of time vetting the sponsor? Was it somebody that you already had a relationship with? What did that look like?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think, everyone learns a little bit differently. And certainly for me, I do as much research up front as I can for me to feel comfortable about the investment. So in this instance, it was learning about, okay, what is multifamily? Never even heard it. I didn't even know that it stood for apartments, So like learning multifamily, learning what is a syndication, and then certainly the terminology you're looking at, how does this work in terms of returns for me as an investor, right? That was a lot of the just upfront learning a part of it. But certainly, just like this business, you have to know the sponsors who do it and to meet them, to know them, to build that trust factor with them. Me being in Dallas, I was lucky because a lot of, Dallas has been a great market and there's a lot of syndications and sponsor groups here and a lot of projects going on. So what I did is I went to a conference. I met people in the industry, learned a little bit more. And I ultimately ended up my first investment with a sponsor that I met at that conference. And then I got to know, I liked them. I met them. I shook hands with them. I got to know them. So that's how I got into my first syndication.
That's great. Yeah. A lot of these syndications are 506B offerings, and I won't go into the whole SEC sidetrack here, but the net of it is that it requires a pre-existing relationship. So a lot of these deals do get done after a handshake and a face-to-face meeting. Did you really make a concerted effort to go out there and meet more people, or was there enough going on in your backyard that it kept you busy and had you looking at enough projects?
I met a bunch of people, at these conferences. There's usually hundreds of people. But it was, just happened to be the group that I was with that day had the sponsor. And I got to talk to them a lot, visited their website, got to look at their other projects. And certainly looking back now, there was a lot I didn't know, right? Like there's a lot of questions I could have asked that, sure. Sometimes in the beginning, you're like, you don't know what you don't know. But certainly a big component of these is, knowing the group and trusting them to where you felt comfortable, giving up $50,000 into an investment. I think for my first investment, meeting them and talking to them in person and really just being comfortable with the DFW market was very helpful and might have taken away some of that stress and anxiety of my first investment.
Right. Yep. That makes sense. Did you go and visit was the asset located in DFW as well?
Yes. Yeah. So it was located in DFW. Got to go look at it, tour it, and see the project in person, which is also helpful. It's not always the requirement now, but certainly as my first investment. And I think it's just, you know, when you're doing an investment like this, that might be kind of hard to wrap your head around for first-time investors is, you know, as right. much of the as much as you can make something tangible in as many ways as possible, whether it be, you know, doing a video or looking at, you know, what a unit would look like after it's upgraded or looking at the other project investments, as much as something is, you can make it tangible in as many formats to an investor, it's all very helpful. You know, people require different things, but I think that was helpful.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know in my own journey, you know, starting out in the single family world, I think everybody kind of gets that. You know, everybody's lived in a house or rented a house. The
right.
economics are pretty much readily obvious what's going on as an investment. But it took me a while. I remember we were sitting, you know, my wife and I were sitting in a seminar years ago. We're talking about buying an apartment. We just looked at each other. Like, we didn't even know people did that. We thought giant corporations owned all these. It didn't even occur to me. And it took a while for my brain to kind of acclimate to the concept. So that makes a lot of sense. And getting out there and seeing it, there's really almost no substitute as far as your educational journey to go out and go do a tour through the lens of as a prospective investor, right? It's a totally different lens to look through.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you have a lot of, you know, single family experience and background with your portfolio. And so I remember hearing once, I don't know who said it, but you know, to think of, you know, apartments, we all understand a single family home apartment. We've probably lived in one. To think of multifamily as, you know, just like a big fix and flip, if you will, if it's a value add project.
Right.
I think that helped me. But then the other component of that is like to think of it as a business, which is what helped me be very comfortable in an investment because then it's objective. You can verify numbers. You have the leverage. And so I think combining those two explanations, looking back, was also very helpful in helping me understand.
Yeah, that's a great point. Sometimes we'll have vendors or people that, you know, IT vendors or somebody that doesn't know our space, and they go, "What do you do? You flip apartments?" And I say, "Yeah, it's a slow flip. It might be a 3-year flip. So it's kind of like that. A little more. There's more moving parts, but effectively, you know, buy it, create value, and at some point you sell it. It really is the long and short of it."
Right. It you know, it's simple. It's not easy. Along with a lot of other things in life, right?
That's exactly right. Simple, but doesn't mean it's easy. So after you got into that first investment, there's obviously a lot of kind of mental hurdles to overcome, education, comfort level. But it's been my experience and my observation that once that first deal is done, you know, assuming people like the experience, that things can start to happen rapidly. So were you continuing your education? Were you immediately looking for the next deal, or what did that look like after that initial investment?
Yeah. You know, for me, I love podcasts. I love reading. I love learning. So for me, the education component is ongoing on the daily level. Even now, 5 years into it, I'm still listening, you know, podcasts like yours and a lot of stuff out there, just because, you know, you can learn a lot. I think it's the quickest way to learn from somebody's mistakes or perspectives, even if, you know, it doesn't agree with your philosophy, you can learn something from everyone, you know. So education component is ongoing on a daily level. And I think then it goes back to, again, being intentional or really knowing what the investment vehicle is there for. Because ultimately, you know, people are doing real estate now because, you know, the real estate, it's the cash flow, it's all the advantages of it. And for me, understanding I want passive income through these investments. And so then I can work very methodically. Well, if I put X amount into a project with these returns, then I can, you know, methodically build up to a passive income. And for me, what that number is and kind of go from there. So it just then became, okay, I'm going to save my W-2 income. funnel into these projects and kind of slowly build up. That's what I like about this. It's not, you know, get rich quick overnight. It's not gonna, your portfolio is not going to rise 30% or drop 30% overnight. It's slow, it's methodical, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's such a great point. They are slow. I kind of enjoy that about the multifamily sector versus single family, where, you know, we've done hundreds of those projects and everything was just always, you know, an emergency with closing and with, you know, contractors. And, you know, there's certainly typical business challenges running rehabs on large apartments as well, but they just kind of move slower. Everything moves a little bit slower, and it's, you've got a multi-year focus, and that makes it better for as an operator, passive investor, et cetera. So that's a nice component of the investment.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, multifamily, we say it's a business, right? It's not one single project. I think like a single family could be compared to, you know, where you have, you know, only one deadline for one project, right? Or you have a multifamily business where you have lots going on. And I think that obviously the leverage and the economies of scale play into that.
Absolutely. Really makes it a completely different animal than a single family project. I want to learn a little bit about how you started approaching some different asset classes too. You know, we talked a little bit at the top about mobile home park, about self-storage, and what attracted you to those and enough to start investing in those types of projects?
Yeah. So, you know, once I kind of, you know, explored multifamily as commercial real estate, then you hear about these other asset classes, self-storage, industrial, retail, mobile home parks. And certainly I think, self-storage and mobile home parks came up because it, you know, the data show that they were proven to be pretty recession resilient. Nothing is 100% recession proof. So kind of just going back again, if my focus is passive income and how can I put my money where, you know, it's as least risk as possible, showing assets that have proven to be resistant even during the downturn. And then thirdly, it was kind of, you know, I could make the jump because I understood multifamily. So being self-storage and mobile home parks, they're also commercial real estate asset classes where you're looking at the NOI, you're looking at cap rate, you're looking at income and value add. So it was easy to kind of take my knowledge from multifamily and jump into those asset classes as far as assessing them as far as an investment vehicle. Now, I'm not the operator, so certainly I don't know, you know, the whole nuts and bolts of those asset classes, but enough of the same questions come up and you're looking kind of at the same metrics as far as investment vehicle.
Right. So that skill set that you've developed evaluating multifamily projects and a lot of the nomenclature and terms are really transfer well to those other asset classes, right?
Right, right. And it, you know, it can kind of provide some diversification in your portfolio. Now, I don't diversify just to diversify, but certainly I think within commercial real estate, then it provides, you know, my own personal portfolio with some different asset classes that also, you know, kind of provide the same, I guess, the same risk profile and returns as multifamily would, generally speaking.
Right. Yeah, that's perfect. So you've gone down this educational journey. You started investing multiple projects, continue to educate yourself. And then it sounds almost like a natural progression to building your platform, the Real Estate Physician, as an educational platform, which is a great resource for all, everything that we're talking about here, that for a prospective investor. Talk to us a little bit about how that came about and you know, how did you develop that platform?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly I, you know, it was not my intent. You know, I didn't have grand dreams of building a business or you know, helping you know, raise equity for deals, but I think, you know, over the last 4 years and me being really only focused on passive investments in commercial real estate through syndications, that is what the whole platform is about. And then in one, sharing that syndications exist, which most people still don't know, not only just physicians. And then kind of with a two-prong focus, one, sharing and educating, and secondly, having a trusted, vetted process of sponsors and projects that we can share with our group. I think you'll know it's, you know, these investments, it's like an art and a science, right? You not only have to have the opportunities, because, you know, there's opportunities abound, but how do you present it in a way to people who, in a digestible way, who one, want to listen to you, meaning they know and like you, and secondly, how do they trust you, right? You hear all those terms over and over again. So it just was, like you said, a natural progression. One, I had the knowledge, and secondly, doing all this, I was the prototypical, I guess, the perfect avatar for my investors. Like, because I am the avatar. So right. Then it just became, well, I know their struggles, and they were my struggles. One is, for a lot of people, is one, even knowing this exists. And secondly, then where do I go, or what do I do, or how do I know if it's a good investment? You know, we all ask the same questions, and it's a matter of, you know, honing it in to people who want to listen to you and who trust you in doing so.
Yeah, that's great. I love the comment that you're your customer. You know, you're living in it. You said you don't want to quit your job. You love what you do. And I think that makes you extremely relatable, especially to another physician. So that's perfect. Are there some common kind of initial questions? You know, let's say there's a doctor in your network that, like you, at some point is kind of brand new to this. Is there kind of the initial set of questions that they have when they're exploring this? Are you kind of seeing the same 10 questions, or is everybody's case a little bit different?
I would say, you know, everyone has, you know, doctors are no different than other human beings. So it's kind of the same questions anyone would ask, specifically regarding, you know, well, who is a sponsor group? Have you worked with them before? And then you look at the market or the deal specifics, right? So I think the platform is set up in such a way where, one, you're not going to sign up if you aren't interested already in commercial real estate as an investment opportunity. And then secondly, that you are ready for investment opportunities, right? So you won't ever see anything on our platform with single family or with other projects, because that's not our focus. So right. I think in first driving the right people to your platform in a way. And then secondly, you know, we do introductory phone calls, but you know, I think everyone does it differently. I certainly don't have a script or have, you know, 10 questions I have to check off. And I always tell each of my investors is, this is very open-ended, because I don't know what, you know, your fears are, your anxieties, or maybe you've done 10 syndications and this is just a way to diversify for you. So I want to answer any of their questions and certainly relay kind of our role and what we do that could be of value to them.
Yeah, that's perfect. Love it. What do you see for the future for yourself and for the platform? Is it, you know, continuing to work, continuing to grow the investor platform?
Yeah. So personally, just answer your question. I'm still full-time, and I continue to be full-time physician. And I, because I feel this is a great investment vehicle, it is a large, if not the majority of my portfolio, into commercial real estate syndications, because I enjoy that passive income. And so being able to build that up slowly, I think is great. As far as the platform, yeah, it's just about reaching more physicians, I think, certainly. And I tell people, even if you hear about syndications and they're not for you, I'm just as happy, right? Because it's one, sharing that exists, and two, if the opportunity fits, then we can partner up is great. But the best part is I don't even feel like I'm running a business, because I get to connect with other physicians who are just like me, right? So that's the fun part for me. And so that's the part where, you know, I like to see it continue to grow, as far as just connecting with other physicians and resonating, sharing our struggles and desires with investments. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love hearing that. I think that's been very true for me and a lot of others as well. It's there really is kind of a component of a community of people coming together with a common aim. These projects are often so big that there's kind of an abundance mentality with these things where, hey, you're doing a project that might need $5 million in equity. There's kind of a spot for everybody. You're not fighting over scraps here. This is a big project. The pie's big. There's something for everybody. And that's kind of one of the joys for me personally is just kind of getting to network with other investors. And it doesn't feel like, a lot of my W-2 corporate stuff did. And I enjoy that. And sounds like you really kind of enjoy that component of it as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just building the relationships, you know, because then it's not about, you know, completing a deal. These are 5, 6, 7 year projects, right? So, you wouldn't want, I'm never in the position to convince anybody to invest Absolutely. Into a project. Correct. Right. Yeah. So it's very relational, which makes it a ton of fun.
Yep. That's right. I love that sentiment. And I feel the same way. It's, hey, we have a project. If you're interested, great. If you're not, that's great too. You know, and it's, that's kind of how the conversation goes, which is, it's fun. It's fun that way.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, if somebody wants to learn more about your platform or connect with you, learn more about what you're up to in the space, what's a good avenue for that?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is just to visit our website, therealestatephysician.com. See if, you know, our message resonates with what you're looking for. And we're always happy to connect or jump on a call to discuss any questions. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we'll link to the website in the show notes. Dr. Cherry Chen, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us today.
No, thanks for having me, Devin.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the DJE Podcast. For more information, please go to djetexas.com.